soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. The Reverend Wilbur Ree's poem is as evocative as it is convicting. If I had an editorial license, I would change a few words, perhaps to make the poem more palatable, more acceptable to a broader, more diverse group of people. But I don't have the authority to edit this poem, and it's easy enough for you to change the words to fit your own heart's fears. I don't want enough of God to make me love whomever I most fear, or irrationally hate, or is the least like me. I trust that you can fill in the blanks of this honest, thought-provoking, borderline offensive poem. I suppose I find the poem offensive because it speaks to a truth I sadly recognize in my own heart. I want the God upon whom I can call. I want the God who accepts me as I am, who sustains me at the communion table, who claimed me in the waters of baptism before I could respond, who loved me then and loves me now and will love me for eternity. I want the God who breaks into my life in holy moments. The one I notice in the joy of the children's faces as they run to church school, the one who paints the sky purple during my evening commute, the one to whom we sing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love." And what's more, as one of your pastors, I want that God for you. Remember who you are and whose you are, I remind the children, and I hope that you grown-up children overhear it too. You belong to God who gave us all to each other to love. I desperately want you to know that. And I want those moments of inbreaking in your lives, of your seeing God in the faces of the guests at Broad Street Ministry or face-to-face or our brother's place, of your seeing God in the faces of each other as you tend to each other's illnesses and griefs, of your seeing God as God's majesty is revealed in the created world, in a seed that sprouts in the garden, or a thunderstorm. instructions for the Passover, the final plague in which God will kill every firstborn, both human and animal, of households that do not follow God's instructions of painting the blood of a lamb upon the doorpost and the lintel piece, God commands, "This is how you shall eat the lamb, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly." Now, this week's text is problematic for us for a number of reasons, not least of which is the fact that God destroys people who oppose the Israelites, seemingly to make a point. As we move through Exodus over the next few weeks, we will perhaps devote some time to this unsettling reality of our sacred text. But what hit me like a ton of bricks last week as I sat in my office, shoes still off, heart still lifted by the glorious music that filled our sanctuary and the other holiness-laden events of the morning, was this. There is a time to take off our shoes and to stand on holy ground. And there is a time to lace up our shoes and get moving into the wilderness where God is sending us. Today's epistle to the Romans puts it this way: love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. It is time for us to wake up to the injustices that swirl around us, to dreamers who now fear for the only lives they've ever known because our leaders are not compelled by compassion or even pragmatic facts. Wake up and keep your shoes on. God is calling us to speak up for those who are no longer in a position to speak up for themselves, to welcome the stranger because we ourselves were once strangers in Egypt. It's time to wake up to the devastation that is taking place even as we worship. And as we continue to wreak havoc on a planet entrusted to our care and stewardship, it is time to wake up to bigger, more deadly, more frequent storms that steal the lives of our neighbors and disproportionately affect the poor. Wake up. Keep your shoes on. The people in the wake of Harvey and Irma are going to need our help. And God is calling us to owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. This love that is required of us, well, it's going to cost us more than $3 of God. And it isn't the same as sending love and prayers over social media outlets. It's keeping on our shoes and double knotting the laces. It's sending a check to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance Now and marking our calendars to send another check 6 months from now. Or to literally pack up and go to the places that are still in need when the media has moved on but the outpouring of help has dried up. Love isn't just sitting at our kitchen countertops and shaking our heads at the injustice of deporting hardworking students and young people